Okay, Jarmo Mackenbach, his next talk is Chaos Seed, Verifying Online Identity with Cryptography. Welcome, him.
All right. Is this working? All right, awesome. Thank you all for coming. I'm Jarmo Mackenbach, and I would like to give you a little non-technical introduction to my project called KioXide, which is all about verifying online identity with cryptography. And to start us off, I would actually like to review very quickly like how traditional passports work. You walk around with your little passport, and you give it to the person who needs to verify it. They will do their little verification with a computer. And then, of course, after that, you can do whatever you came to do with your passport. What I would like to briefly touch on is this third step, where a passport needs to be verified by contacting the government that issued it. In and of itself, the passport doesn't do that much. It's just a piece of paper with maybe a little picture to identify the person, but not that much more. And in fact, even if you do verify with the government, you know, it checks the validity of the document. Is it still valid? But it doesn't actually link it to the person, again, except for maybe the picture, but still. The online world, of course, is becoming more and more part of our lives. So how would identity work on the internet, online? So for me, of course, I would like to have it secure. And with that, I actually mean verifiable, so that I can present my online passport and prove to people that it's me, and that not someone else is trying to claim that they're me or anything like that. I would like it to be anonymous. We don't actually need this online identity to be the same as our real in real life identity. In fact, I would go even further than that. Online, we can be multiple persons. We can, be a certain person that works in a certain domain. We can be a person with a certain hobby. And all these personas, they don't need to match, a real identity. And they should have their own identities that need to be maintained and be cared for and be presented separately as identities. I would like it to be self-sovereign. So people should be able to make their own passport. They should be able to create it, update it, delete it, distribute it, or keep it private, as much as as they would like to, as they see fit. And of course, I would like to see it decentralized. There shouldn't be any gatekeepers. It shouldn't run through a single big instances. It should just be, if you verify someone's identity, you need to be able to do it yourself on the spot, without having to trust another entity in the middle as much as possible, because, and if you combine all this, I think it should represent what you do on the internet, online, and not just like the traditional passport where you were born, mostly. So let's envision a little scenario. Again, I said that this would be non-technical, so, So we start off with Alice, and if there's Alice, then of course there's Bob. And they've spoken to each other for years now with, let's say, Matrix, I don't know. So they know who they are. And again, they don't need to be, these don't need to be like in real life identities. They could be pseudonyms. But they know who they are. And on a certain day, Alice gets a message from a certain Bob91 through a separate network. And of course, Alice wants to know, is this Bob? Why are they using, if it is, why are they using a different username? That could have many reasons. But again, is this the same actual person? So luckily for Alice, in this case, she could ask KioXide. And KioXide actually did a little check on both Bob on the Matrix networks and Bob on 91 on the XYZ network. And it could actually verify that they were the same person. So that's really a rough explanation. So let's actually look at what happens to get to this point. So what Bob did is he created a cryptographic key. So cryptographic keys are represented by a fingerprint, a large string. In this case, let's simplify it. We'll just call it key 42. And he treats like the cryptographic key as like as a sort of vault. So he can put arbitrary data in there. So in this case, he puts two links. In this case, I use different accounts. So he refers to a Fediverse account, and he refers to a LiberaPay account. Again, these could be any number of services that he chooses to do and to enter in the vault. And then he uploads a public key version of this to a so-called key server. So a public key in this context, we can view it as like a glass vault. Everybody can look inside, but no one can actually modify the contents. Only Bob can, and Bob secured it through cryptography, but everyone can actually look at this vault and look at the links that are inside. And on that fateful day that we just discussed, Alice, she went to this Kioxide page, and she entered the number 42 because she knows that that's Bob's cryptographic key identifier. Again, they must have talked about this before or anything like that. But so beforehand, she knew that this was Bob's key. And so, well, Kioxide then goes and fetches this key from the key server, displays the data. But again, it's just displaying this as a list. It doesn't know yet if it's actually verified, because just claiming that you are someone, a certain account on the internet, you know, that's not sufficient. So what Kioxide then continues to do is that it will actually fetch some basic data, profile data, from this Fediverse account. And inside this Fediverse account, it will actually find a link back to the key, in this case, the number 42. And with this confirmation, it actually like knows that it verifies the identity. So, and this really is the basis on how Kioxide determines identity through bidirectional verification. So the key links to a certain account on the internet, and the account on the internet links back to the key. It does the same verification for the LiberaPay account. It finds a link back to the key. And so it has to be the same person that did both actions, put the link to the account in the key and put the link to the key back in the account. So that's how it looked in stick figure mode. This is an example of my account, for example. So this big string, that's actually what the 42 represented in the stick figures. And below are like all my identities, all my accounts that I linked in my profile, and that actually have been verified by this website. So what this website does, kioxide.org, in the end, is basically just like a little automation layer. You could verify it yourself. You could go to each of these profiles. You could go to each of these links and just look for the reference back to my key, which is written up there. But yeah, that is kind of a tedious task. So that's what Kioxide is designed to automate for you. But Kioxide will always give you the option to verify for yourself. So currently we do have a Kioxide mobile app. It's available on F-Droid for now only. And it only does this profile verification mode functionality. It doesn't do process profile creation yet. For now, this really it requires you to use the command line, the GPG command line tool. So that's not for everyone, but that will we're working on making it sure that the app can just make it, just like Keybase used to do back in the day. And of course, we would like to release it on different Play Stores so that it's more widely available. But you can already play around with it right now. I would like to briefly touch on what is next for Kioxide. So we're trying to create this more easy kind of way to create profiles, not only using OpenPGP. Right now, everything is OpenPGP within Kioxide, but soon you'll be able to use, like it says, mini-signed keys or SSH keys or whatever keys we can find. As I said before, I would also like to have more apps that can actually help you and guide you in creating profiles, so that it's not just for the very technical people among us, but also just more general, that people can enjoy online identity verification. Another thing is, like, for each website that we support, it needs to be programmed manually. We need to know the right APIs for every service. So there's a lot of work that goes into finding out which how to do that. And of course, if a certain bird site decides to close their API, that is overdone for those verifications, but that is their problem. So we need to, add support for more services and websites. We should also play around with creating new websites, creating more clients. You know, clients can do a lot more things than just display a list of profiles. And these are things that should be explored, like different ways of using identity online. Actually, I did so myself. I created my own competitor, in this case named Kyocera Blue. And I just, like it says, I built this in an afternoon, and it's just that easy to get started with this ID, because in the end, it's just an automation layer. And it was just a little quick test for myself to see like how easy is it to create a new client. So if anyone feels like playing around with this, go ahead. It's a little fun, I guess. And the other thing that I quickly wanted to mention is, to go further than just display a nice list of profiles and of online identities would be, what else can we do with online identity? And actually, a few hours ago, there was this presentation by Pablo, where he discussed creating CVs for developers, or in the end, for more people, but just for now, like developers, how can they share what they do online? How can they share their free open and open source contributions on different platforms, on different websites? So that is something that maybe we could explore using KeyXsite as a backend to know who has done what, and make a nice little CV of anyone's contributions to the open source world. And with that, I would like to thank Victor and Berker and all the other people who have contributed to the project so far, and Elnet for their funding. And if you like the idea behind this, do reach out. It's fun, and we're always looking for more people to get this field further. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you a lot for a nice presentation. So you have now almost 3 minutes for questions, and after it you will ask them outside. Anyone? Questions?
So is this system dependent on a key server?
No. So the question was, is it dependent on key servers? In the end, no. So key servers are just one way of promoting, distributing keys. But there's also like WKD, WebKey directory, where you can put keys on your own server. You could also share keys directly, of course, between people.
Brilliant. Okay. So have you also included key signing so that you can create a web of trust?
No. There have been talks about that, because
it will be good.
Yeah, of course, like the web of trust discussion, that's people like it, people don't like it.
If you can make that socially easy for people, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that is also something to explore, the social aspect between having identities and because in the end that's just another verification. Do people know each other, and then that generates trust. Thanks. There was a few questions there.
Yeah, the last question.
Because also in that direction, do you have support for blockchain names or something like that, that where the public key is on the chain?
It should probably be feasible. We haven't looked that much into it yet. For now, we're just focusing on the basic platforms, where people are and where you can just create an account and then get some data back from an API. It should probably be feasible, as long as you can as long as you have an online entity where you can put arbitrary data, and you have a way of querying that data. Everything's possible. It's just a matter of send us a PR or send us an issue, and let's discuss, and we'll get it sorted.
Okay, thank you, Jarmo. Thank you for listening.